Welcome to Make a Yacht News Radio, the first and longest running podcast series dedicated to the large yacht industry. Hosted by Diane Byrne, the editor of MegaYachtNews.com, we feature conversations with engaging and inspiring people in yachting, from shipyard CEOs to designers, from yacht managers to young entrepreneurs, and yes, even owners. You'll learn how they got into yachting, how they're building better businesses, and especially how they're helping people like you get more enjoyment out of the yachting lifestyle.
Welcome, everybody. Between television shows and media reports, there is certainly much more awareness than ever before about yacht charter. If you are considering this wonderful vacation option, then you will likely learn a few quick facts in speaking with anybody who has previously enjoyed a charter. First and foremost, the yachts chase the seasons as the seasons change. There are peak, highly in-demand periods. And as much as some destinations are perennial favorites, new destinations are always stepping into the spotlight. Now, a lot can be said about each of these facts. Plus, yacht charter offers you some pretty extraordinary experiences that you are unlikely to enjoy elsewhere. So to better explore all of this, we are joined today by Tim Davis, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at Burgess. He has a strong background in luxury hospitality and yachting, of course. So he is well-versed in keeping people like you better informed and helping you better understand what you can enjoy. So, Tim, welcome to Mega Yacht News Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So much of yacht charter media coverage tends to speak to repeat charter clients, or at least people who are experienced in cruising, from what I can tell. So why don't we start with some basic charter 101 information, if you will, and then we can take a deeper dive as we go along. In terms of charter rates, they do differ depending upon the date being during the high season or low season, but also for special events. The Monaco Grand Prix, I know, is really a very highly in-demand event. New Year's Eve, of course, in St. Bart's is very popular. So is there a good rule of thumb for people who might be looking to book during these highly in-demand periods?
It's a really good question. And the obvious answer is as soon as possible, as in for your booking. And we certainly, as you've mentioned, the repeat customers, which is a big part of our charter business, that we regularly see those charterers rebooking their charter for the coming year within 4 to 6 weeks of getting off the boat from their charter. And I think that's a key message for existing charterers, that if you find a yacht that you enjoy, you love the crew, etc., that we would seriously recommend booking it as soon as you feel ready to do so, because availability is tight and those really popular boats will get booked up heavily in advance. And again, as you mentioned, the Monaco Grand Prix or the Cannes Film Festival, again, really popular events, finding berthing certainly within Monaco is tricky and takes time, and to do that in advance. And again, yeah, getting a spot as close to Cannes as possible for the film festival again is difficult. So I think it really is as soon as possible. But we certainly see our most popular charter boats are booked up many months before the season starts. So it's, yeah, like we all do, is trying to prepare those vacations as soon as possible.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what about other periods during the year, say dates that are not those highly, highly in demand? What's a good rule of thumb in terms of booking those?
Again, I think it's, yeah, what we would class as the shoulder seasons. So those seasons kind of before and, yeah, just before and just after the that core season. But I think a point to be made there is we are seeing those seasons stretch as well. I think, yeah, dare I say it, as the kind of global weather changes, we are starting to see those seasons extend. So it's becoming those quieter periods are actually becoming much shorter as well. So I think it's, yeah, there's probably just just as much emphasis to try and book a charter, whether it's in a shoulder season or in the middle of the season, trying to do that as soon as possible. But there is always availability. We are, and I think that's something that we're very proud to promote, that we will more often than not be able to find availability on a yacht, and probably the right type of yacht, but it may not be your first choice of yacht. And I think that's something that the message that we really try to push out for those seasons charterers, book it early, and that for those who are new to it, it's come as early as possible, and we can have that dialogue to find. We see it very much speed dating in a way, that it's you tell us what you like, we'll work out what the yacht has and see if it's a happy match.
Right. You know, you just mentioned something that I think is another good point to talk about. Sometimes charter guests will see a particular yacht listed and say, oh, we want to book that yacht. That sounds like it's perfect for our family, our friends, the number of staterooms, maybe the layout or the look of it. And obviously that's very important because you want to be surrounded by the look, the feel that most suits you. But in terms of charter, your brokers actually know far more than what people will see online. You understand more about the crew and then the personality, so to speak, of the crew and the yacht. Talk about that a little bit and the importance of that in matching that with the charter guests.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And I think that's something that we would see as one of our USPs, in terms of we understand, we have the biggest global fleet of charter yachts in the industry, and we understand those boats better than anybody else. And exactly as you say, we try and deliver as much information as possible on our website through images, videos, fly-throughs, walkthroughs, 360s, etc. But actually getting to know the captains and the crew, getting to know where they recommend guests should go, what the yacht is capable of in terms of beach setups or the toys on board, or how good the crew is about creating parties, whether it's creating parties for a 60th, 70th, 80th, or actually it's a kids party as well. And I think there are crews, let's be honest, there are crews that enjoy that more, that are better equipped to do things like that than others. And I think that's why we would always say, talk to your charter broker as soon as possible. Tell us what you're looking for. What's the idea? What's the dream? And we can bring it to life. And I think one of the key messages is we can take that to another level as well. So if the ideal is it's for somebody's father's 80th birthday party, we can make it the best 80th birthday party ever if we've got the time to do it. But I think it's just understanding the crew and how they tick, which captain will be on board. Obviously, these yachts often have captains on rotation. Some captains are better suited for different types of charter, whether it's a charter in a fairly well-trodden path in the Mediterranean, or it's going somewhere like Antarctica or some far-flung destination like the Society Islands in French Polynesia or somewhere like, there are yachts, there are crews, there are captains, there are toys on board that are all best suited, right down to the food and the menus of what's available in far-flung destinations. So it's what you see on the website or in brochures, etc., is probably realistically 40%, 50% of the knowledge that we have, because it's very difficult to get all of that information in one place.
Right. And even if you described the personalities of the crew members, there's still so much more that goes beyond somebody having, say, 20 years experience, or they know all the regions of the islands like the back of their hand. It's definitely that personal interaction that makes the big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And the captains and crew, captains and senior crew have their favorite places, and they are their favorite places because they deliver the best experience for the guest. And as you say, it'll be a bay tucked away that very few people know about, or it's a bay that actually, once the boat is anchored in the bay, that no other boat can get into that bay. So you then have total privacy, etc. And it's that knowledge of being on the seas for so many years, they just have these sort of moments of magic. Or it might be a venue ashore that we know that they can get a table in a particular place at a particular time that has a particular view of the yacht from on top of the cliff or whatever it is. And that's very difficult to put on a website. You're absolutely right.
Right. Those are those priceless moments for sure. So let's talk about some of the destinations, since that's always of great interest to people. Owners certainly and their families are looking to explore different areas, perhaps some more far-flung destinations. How much of that is trickling into charter? What are you and your team seeing in terms of interest in places that are off the beaten path?
Yeah, I think it's still a small, being honest, it's a small part of our business. We book, in looking at 2023, we booked about 7,000 charter nights across 2023, across our global fleet. And I would say probably the high 70s to 80% of that is in the traditional locations of the Mediterranean. You know, as you said earlier, it's the Mediterranean and then the Caribbean. But we are definitely seeing a growing interest in further afield destinations. But I think if you were to ask anybody at Burgess in the charter department, we would love to see more, because we believe that the opportunity for truly unique experiences is probably not necessarily in the Mediterranean. It's a well-trodden path. Wherever you go in the Mediterranean, you are probably likely to see another super yacht, if not another 3 or 5 or 10 perhaps. And I think there are destinations elsewhere around the world where you may not see a charter yacht for the whole, whether it's a 7-day, a 14-day trip, you may not see another super yacht. And you will be on beaches that will be just untouched, or you will be in places that really blow your mind. And I think, we would love to see a greater sort of interest in those areas, just because we believe that experience is comparable and if not better to the Mediterranean. Albeit we understand the appeal of the Mediterranean. There's a sort of experience point of view in terms of people know it. They know it well. They know the destinations ashore. They know the beaches, the islands that they want to go to. And I think that people often will default back to where they've been before because it was such a great experience. And I absolutely get that. But I think, thinking about some of those destinations, the likes of, Antarctica, some of the charters available in Antarctica are phenomenal. I appreciate it's not going to be necessarily sun-drenched, or it won't be sun-drenched with water toys, etc. But it does, it just brings a whole different level of experience, and the capability that we have in terms of putting together adventure travel. It's not just the yacht experience. It's being able to use go heli skiing in the morning and then in the afternoon go and dive down to a different part of Antarctica or whatever it may be. I think it's thinking about some of those areas. I guess on that theme is then looking at Norway and northern Norway in terms of the scenery and the wildlife and just the different light shows that happen in and around Norway. The same with Greenland. We've certainly seen a little bit of interest recently in terms of people wanting to just completely escape and just explore Greenland on some extended charters. And then further afield, the likes of, and I mentioned the Society Islands earlier on, but French Polynesia, Solomon Islands, places like that are absolutely geared up in terms of licenses, captains having the knowledge of that area as well. But just, and I appreciate it's further to go and it's potentially a slightly longer charter than it potentially is in the Mediterranean. But as I say, the chances of seeing another super yacht are very small. But the chances of just having a beach all to yourself and just having truly immersive experiences, I think is very exciting. But that, as I say, that's not to say the Mediterranean isn't.
No, not of course, not at all. Some of the places you just mentioned actually are completely on my bucket list. So
I'm with you. Well, let's go. I think a couple of weeks in Society Islands I would be very, very happy.
Definitely. Oh, that sounds great to me. Absolutely, especially after the miserable winter I just experienced in northeastern US.
Well, in the UK, which is where I am, the rain has been nonstop. So 24 hours even in Society Islands, I would be a happy man, definitely.
Absolutely. Having not been to northern Norway, but having been through the fjords of Norway, I can absolutely attest to it being magnificent. And really, there's nothing like it. It's so spectacular.
And I think I think a lot of the time you can describe the Mediterranean to people, or you can describe the Caribbean to people. But I think it's those, as you say, the fjords, northern Norway, some of those destinations are just, when you talk to people who have been there, they just sort of, they don't really know what to say apart from, I'd like to go back. And I think that's really telling, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. When it leaves you speechless, that is certainly the sign that it is truly, truly extraordinary. So for the newcomers who tend to gravitate towards those tried and true destinations in the Mediterranean, in the Caribbean, Is it really a lot of what you said earlier about it being familiarity? They've maybe been there before on a land visit, or is it just that that's so well publicized that that's naturally what they want to try first?
I think probably a bit of both. I think there's also a bit of word of mouth in terms of recommendation. We find that a lot of our new clients will have spoken to a friend of a friend who has chartered or owns a yacht, and that's something that we also absolutely recommend people to do. And so I think a lot of it comes from the safety side of things, and I guess I mean safety to the well-trodden point of view. And I think they are by far and away the most publicised destinations. I think if you look at any super yachting brand, we tend to hero those Mediterranean, those well-known destinations, because people understand them, they're aware of them, and as you say, they may have been there for a villa holiday or a private island holiday or something like that in a destination that they know. So yes, I think it's people tend to like, certainly if it's your first charter, they like to be in an area where they feel that people have been before, and some of it is also they will know. They have some of their friends who are there already, and part of that is meeting up with them, that they're anchored off Portofino and they want to wave at each other across the bay. And I absolutely understand that. That's, you know, this is all very much about bringing groups of people together. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very much part of that charter.
Right. Now, there are certain trends that have been going on in everyday life, shall we say. The foodie trend, I think, is certainly a good one to talk about. That has certainly crossed over into yachting. We know that superyacht charters have always had phenomenal food. The chefs on these yachts are superb. They're trained at the best culinary schools. They can adapt to any type of dietary restrictions. They know different cultural influences in terms of food. But what are the chefs doing in terms of trying to bring their menus and their dishes to a new level? I think because of everything that goes on in everyday society, especially with Instagram being very food focused, that kind of has, I don't want to say put pressure on the chefs, but I think maybe they've become a little bit more aware of everybody expecting things to be at a different level.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, and I think increasingly food is a key part of the charter. And it, obviously, you know, people are all together on the yacht, but those culinary events are part of what brings people together. And I think that's a key part of every charter that we organise is, and it can be, as you say, it might be a 2 Michelin starred event on board, but actually increasingly we're starting to see back to basics. So it really is. Actually, what I just want is I want a burger, but I want it to be the best burger I've ever had. And I think when you talk to super yacht chefs, it's about almost stripping it back, and it's just simplicity, but simplicity done to the absolute best level. And increasingly there are requests for street food, and we're starting to see yachts actually being built around their culinary capability. So there's we have a yacht joining, one of the biggest charter yachts in the world joining our fleet soon to be released to the market, that has so many different culinary stations on board, that at one point, you know, for one meal you can have a pizza made in front of you, that you can then go to the teppanyaki grill, you can then go to the burger bar, you can go to the sports bar, all on board the same yacht. And I think that's what's so interesting, that it's almost kind of different moments, the different feeling that you have. The chef is then there to create that. But I think your point about inspiration is absolutely key, that we have a campaign running at the moment called Super Yacht Chefs, and that's some of our charter team having very informal conversations through social media with super yacht chefs in the Burgess fleet, and listening to their inspiration. And increasingly we are seeing kind of shore-based chefs coming on board yachts because they want to bring that inspiration from a Michelin-starred restaurant, bring that on board a yacht, partly because of the challenge of operating at that level in a very small galley. And let's, you know, it's fairly obvious, I know, but a galley on a yacht is going to be much smaller, probably much hotter, probably much more difficult to work in than a galley in a restaurant ashore. But I think increasingly chefs like that challenge, and the different types of ingredients that they can get from wandering into a market in St. Bart's or Antigua or wherever it is, as you know, of course the quality of food ashore is fantastic, but that ability to go and live and breathe and talk to the farmer that has actually brought that produce from the farm, that is 5 kilometres down the road. I think increasingly that sort of, I say farm to table is probably the right phrase, but I think we are seeing that very much as a focus of super yacht chefs being aware of where the produce is coming from, but actually taking part in that journey. So actually, they, you know, when they do arrive in the Caribbean, they will go ashore and go and talk to their local providers about, you know, what's fresh, what's relevant at the moment, rather than just taking a more traditional menu. And I think all of that sort of feeds into the melting pot just to deliver culinary experiences which are just phenomenal. And I think people who haven't charted before, it's so difficult to explain just the quality of food, the quality of experiences. But it's not just the food itself. It's the whole experience of how tables are set, and just how the theatre of food and drink on a super yacht is just phenomenal. And I used to work in luxury hotels a good few years ago, but spent sort of 6 or 8 years in some very nice luxury hotels working for a luxury hotel brand. And I think luxury hotels will say that they can personalize and make an experience bespoke, but I challenge any 4, 5, 6, 7 star hotel wherever they are around the world to be able to deliver what a super yacht does, because it's yours, it's your toy as the charter guest. If you want to have breakfast at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you can have breakfast at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you have different, whether it's religions, beliefs, color, creed, makes absolutely no difference, that you can truly personalize that experience. And culinary is so important to it. And we know of charter guests that have brought on particular chefs on board, so, you know, sushi chefs from Japan, because they are, you know, they themselves are absolute specialists in sushi, and they want the very best sushi chef on board to be able to cater to their taste. So it really is a bespoke experience.
Wonderful. One last question for you before we wrap up. Sustainability is a really hot topic these days, in especially yacht construction, yacht design, the operations. Are charter guests asking about sustainability at all? And if they are, what are some of the questions that they have?
I think they are, definitely. I think it's increasing, and I think it's being probably driven by a slightly younger demographic. I think there's more sort of social awareness, I think, probably from that younger demographic. But what's really exciting is I think that's starting to bleed into all ages as well. And let's be honest, I think super yachting, sustainability and super yachting is a tricky conversation. And I think we would be the first people to say we have to do more. We're not doing enough. We need to continue to do more. And part of our job as a brand is to educate our owners, our yachts, our captains, our crew, in terms of just the little things that we can do in terms of turning down air conditioning during a charter. Can that be restricted to particular times when the guests are asleep or they're not on board? That can we adapt the air conditioning in terms of the levels that adapt? The number of plastic bottles when you look at how much or how many plastic bottles are consumed by, not that there is an average charter, but if it was a 1 week charter, there's a huge number of bottles that are brought on board. Actually having, and it sounds obvious, but water making facilities on board, though it's perfectly purified and delicious water, but we don't need to bring it on in plastic bottles. Just in terms of how hot water is heated, how can we recycle fumes from engines? That obviously they get produced, they're very hot. How can we use that to heat the water on board? And that's probably more driven into how the boat is built and the structure of the yacht itself. But actually, just the sustainability of how food is sourced, and we talked about those kind of farm-to-table food miles. Again, we absolutely will see guests saying, actually, we just want to eat locally. We want everything to be sourced from, you know, every port that we go into. And that takes, you know, that takes a bit of planning, and that takes a bit of preparation from us and the crew and the captain. But with that request is, you know, we can do almost anything. And I think that's our job is to do that. So I guess to answer your question, it's definitely something that we're seeing more of. I think we have more work to do in terms of at a global brand level, but increasingly just educating charter guests about the choices that they make and that we can help them with those choices is really important.
Sure. It's part of the larger conversation overall in terms of education.
Absolutely. And it's, yeah, we have to do more. I think as a global brand, we are investing kind of time and money in global projects. We've just kicked off a new project with seagrass in the Mediterranean. And I think it's, we have to recognize you can never do enough, but we have to do something. And I think, yeah, it's also recognizing that we don't necessarily have the answers. We may need to talk to experts in this field to help us shape the future. We recognize we've just got to do more.
Right, right, definitely. Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining me today. It was great speaking with you and learning more about what Burgess is doing. And certainly the information you've shared in terms of Charter is going to help a lot of the new people coming in and wanting to explore and experience this terrific, terrific vacation option.
It really is. And I would echo that. There's just nothing like it. It is a truly unique experience. So yeah, I hope many more people come and join us.
Definitely. Well, everyone, if you'd like to learn more about what Burgess offers in terms of yacht charter, you can visit their website, which is burgessyachts.com. Until next time, I'm Diane Byrne.
That wraps up this episode of Mega Yacht News Radio. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, please share the word on social media and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. And, of course, to learn more about what's going on in the world of large yacht cruising, new construction, and design, check out our daily updated website, the award-winning MegaYachtNews.com.